Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70-plus exhibits, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
California in 2023 set a new E85 sales record. Growth Energy welcomed the new California Air Resources Board data. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score says Californians use more E85 than ever last year, a fact that demonstrates how enthusiastic consumers are about higher biofuel blends. Score encouraged policymakers to take note of the rise of E85 in California and to find ways to lower consumer costs by increasing biofuels' share of the American fuel tank. However, Score also called on California to fast-track approval of E15. California is the only state in the U.S. where E15, a blend made with 15% bioethanol that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency approves for use in all vehicles made in model year 2001 and newer, is not approved for sale. Still, fuel retailers in the state have taken steps to sell more E85 to California drivers. California farmers are scaling down their processing tomato acreage this year as processors enter the planting season with boosted inventory. The state's tomato processors plan to contract for 11.6 million tons this year, down about 10% from the 12.9 million tons they contracted for in 2023. In 2023, California growers harvested their largest tomato crop in several years after winter storms replenished water supplies. Processors looking to bolster inventory depleted during the drought paid a record high price. Now acreage is declining as demand softens for processed tomato products. The commonplace practice in California of applying precise water to individual plants rather than broadcasting with sprinklers may not have taken off if not for the research trials conducted decades ago at the Nichols Soil Laboratory in Colusa County. The privately owned research farm in Arbuckle is often credited with helping to propel the state's tree nut industry to the powerhouse it is today. Now, just as growers have faced tough times as the price of almonds and walnuts have plummeted, research funding for Nichols has depleted because of shrinking crop revenue. California is the first state in the U.S. to pass laws that eventually require large corporations to publicly disclose greenhouse gas emissions and their climate risks. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has followed suit last week, but it approved a weakened federal regulation that drops a proposed requirement for companies to report emissions from their supply chains and customer use of their products. Opponents argued that the reporting rule would burden farmers who provide most raw products that go into the food supply chain. The California Department of Water Resources has completed a groundwater mapping project that the agency says provides critical information about California's underground water supply. DWR announced the completion of the statewide Airborne Electromagnetic, or AEM, project recently. Between December of 2021 and November of 2023, the agency collected nearly 16,000 miles of AEM data within 95 groundwater basins across California. DWR said the data is invaluable for identifying the most suitable locations to implement groundwater recharge projects. U.S. almond prices have fallen, with prices for standards moving below the $1.80 per pound barrier for the first time in 5 weeks. The Mintec benchmark prices for standard 5% almonds FAS U.S. were assessed at $1.77 a pound on Thursday, March 7th. That's in line with the last reported trade and down 9 cents a pound on the week. The fall occurred across the wider almond complex, with assessed items down between 3 to 12 cents a pound on the week. The decline was driven by a combination of bearish sentiment surrounding positive bloom conditions and increased availability as more growers began to market almonds. The supply of strawberries is strong and stable right now. The Oxnard, California spring crop is slated to peak in the coming weeks, while the Santa Maria growing region is anticipated to provide ample peak volumes near early May, according to Nick Chappell, director of sales for California Giant Berry Farms. He says Florida is currently peaking while Mexico's production is winding down, albeit still producing strong volumes. Overall, Chappell says its supply of strawberries this year is up slightly over last year, largely due to the company's increase in acreage. He says they anticipate good availability for the Easter pull and will also have ample volumes of long-stemmed strawberries. The Oxnard and Santa Maria, California growing regions have started their seasons on time. However, wet weather conditions have required crews to strip the field several times, creating hiccups in supply. The biggest challenge of 2024 has been weather. Weather impacted crops early on, from rain to uncharacteristically cold weather. Despite this, the plants are doing well and producing strong new flower and fruit sets, according to Chappell. Indeed, growing conditions for strawberries have been challenging. Florida began its season with cooler than normal temperatures and above average rainfall. California's growing regions have also faced inclement weather with heavy rains and an atmospheric river, while Mexico faced warmer than average temperatures that had slightly impacted their fruit quality. In addition, El Nino weather effects across the country this winter have also caused consumption to decline slightly. As for strawberry pricing, it is up slightly compared to last year. Looking ahead, the Watsonville, Salinas, California region will begin harvesting strawberries at the end of March. In addition to the ramping of domestic strawberry season, they are approaching the beginning of their new domestic blueberry season, which will provide fruit from Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, California, Central Valley, Oregon, and Washington, according to Chappell. The raspberry and blackberry supplies have remained steady with high-quality fruit available. The California Department of Food and Agriculture is announcing three vacancies on the Feed Inspection Advisory Board Technical Advisory Subcommittee. This subcommittee provides technical and scientific advice to the Feed Inspection Advisory Board and CDFA on animal food nutrition, safety, and efficacy data review of new and unapproved feed ingredients, research project oversight, and other issues that will affect the Commercial Feed Regulatory Program, the Livestock Drug Program, and the Safe Animal Feed Education Program. Applicants must demonstrate technical, applied, and scientific expertise in the fields of toxicology, pathology, ruminant and non-ruminant nutrition, as well as possess general knowledge of the California feed industry. The term of office for subcommittee members is 3 years. Members receive no compensation but are entitled to payment of necessary travel expenses. Individuals interested in being considered for appointment should send a resume and prospective member appointment questionnaire to the CDFA. The application deadline is March 25th. For more information, contact the CDFA Feed, Fertilizer, and Livestock Drugs Regulatory Services Branch. Reedley, California-based Family Tree Farms has named Leighton Dill as marketing manager. The appointment is effective immediately. Coming from a fifth-generation farm and ranch in Chowchilla, California, Dill's agricultural journey started at a young age. After graduating with a Bachelor of Science in Agribusiness from Oklahoma State University, she honed her skills as a research analyst for the Oklahoma Wheat Program. However, her passion for agricultural marketing led her to switch gears and pursue a new route. Over the past 4 years, Dill has demonstrated her expertise by working with over 40 companies, helping them to grow their operations through innovative marketing and strategy efforts. Her mission is clear: crafting narratives that weave agricultural dedication, resilience, and innovation, sparking change. Dill will continue to champion the Family Tree Farm's vision to consistently market the most flavorful fruit in the world, she says, and build strategy and partnerships with customers and provide leadership to the marketing team.
The Citrus Showcase concluded yesterday in Visalia, and it was the biggest showcase yet. Growers, packers, consultants, and industry professionals gathered to network and hear from citrus leadership, as well as researchers on the most pressing topics for the industry. California Citrus Mutual President Casey Creamer lauded the event, noting the common theme he saw amongst members of the industry in attendance was coordination.
Walking around the floor, just seeing lots of colleagues and people in the industry having conversations. And so, you know, that, to me, that's probably like the biggest takeaway, is that when you see that interaction happening, it's coordination within the industry. There's a lot of knowledge sharing between, you know, professionals in the industry. And so some people call that networking or just chatting. But actually, it's probably the innovation. It's the really what's pushing the industry forward is all those relationships and conversations that may seem casual, but are really impactful to people's operations when they take that knowledge and camaraderie back to their operations.
Over 1,000, including attendees and exhibitors, were present, and Creamer said he heard many valuable and optimistic conversations taking place about the state of the citrus industry.
The thing that impresses me the most about this industry, and I think it was a theme throughout the day, is that people understand where we're at, and they're optimistic about the future of the citrus industry. And so, you know, there's lots of challenges heading our way, you know, water, labor, HLB, trade issues. I mean, you name it, we've got a number of challenges that we've got to work on. But I think there's like a sense of optimism that, you know, yeah, we know we're going to be heading for some tough times, but we've done it before. And we can do it again, and we're going to get through this. And so that's just that optimism and positive spirit that's, I think, a big part of what's made the citrus industry a success for over 100 years.
In terms of a take-home message from the conference, Creamer hopes the industry realizes what organizations like California Citrus Mutual, CDFA, Citrus Research Board, and more are doing on its behalf.
I hope. I mean, a lot of the work that we do at Citrus Mutual and our colleagues at Citrus Research Board and CCQC and the Pest and Disease, you know, at CDFA, I hope they take away that work is being done, right, on their behalf. And a lot of important work, and it's focused in the areas that are most important to them. And that they learn about all that, and they can take it back to their operations so that they can prepare the best they possibly can, but also that they can focus on the thing that they do best and the thing that they love the most, which is growing high quality fresh citrus here in California. And so if you don't have the confidence that the groups are out there doing the job that's needed, then that takes more of your time and it takes away from the passion that they have in their operations. So hopefully they know that the work is being done. Their involvement is necessary in that to help make it better, and that they can still focus on what they do and what they love the best.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
A new chapter in the saga of dicamba herbicides began this week as Bayer has once again initiated the registration process with the Environmental Protection Agency for its product Xtendimax for use in dicamba-tolerant soybeans and cotton in 2025. The move comes just more than a month after a federal court in Arizona vacated the 2020 registrations of three over-the-top dicamba products previously approved by EPA, including Xtendimax, BASF's Ingenia, and Syngenta's Tavium. The court's action led EPA to issue an existing stocks order for the 2024 season on February 14th. This allows for use of the herbicides already distributed from the product registrants following application cutoff dates on the herbicides' previously approved labels. The 2020 registrations originally had allowed for labeled use through December of 2025. In a statement to DTN, a Bayer spokesperson said the priority is to have a solution available for growers in the 2025 season. Bayer declined to elaborate further on how its latest Xtendimax registration application varied from previous iterations. However, Wes Hayes, Bayer Vice President of North American Soybean Product Management, was quoted in an interview saying the company had been suggesting farmers move application of its dicamba product earlier in the season to either pre-plant or at plant. Grocery prices held steady in the latest consumer price index by the Department of Labor. While food prices stayed flat, the overall index increased 0.4% following a 0.3% increase in January. Three of six major grocery store food group indexes decreased over the month. The index for dairy and related products decreased 0.6% in February, led by a 1.1% decline in the index for cheese and related products. The fruits and vegetables index decreased 0.2% over the month, as did the non-alcoholic beverages index. The cereals and bakery products index rose 0.5% in February, following a 0.2% decrease in January. The meats, poultry, fish, and eggs index also increased over the month, rising 0.1%. The index for other food at home was unchanged over the month. The food away from home index rose 0.1% in February after rising 0.5% in January. And 7 of the 8 major fertilizer prices were higher compared to a month earlier, marking the fourth week in a row that prices were mostly higher. Urea pushed considerably higher, up 7% from last month. The nitrogen fertilizer had an average price of $564 a ton. 6 other fertilizers were slightly more expensive. DAP had an average price of $760 a ton, MAP at $816, 10340 at $622, and Hydrous at $788, and UAN 28 at $344 a ton, while UAN 32 came in at $396 a ton. The USDA spending bill President Joe Biden just signed for the rest of this fiscal year limits the Ag Secretary's discretion in spending funds from the Commodity Credit Corporation, which is USDA's financing institution. The Ag spending bill requires the Secretary to give Congress 15 days notice before transferring $100 million or more from the CCC. The provision is based on the earlier USDA Spending Accountability Act led by Republican Senators Roger Marshall, Mike Braun, and Iowa's Chuck Grassley.
We should not have a slush fund that is outside of the appropriation process, that doesn't give Congress control of the purse strings.
Republicans charge the CCC has been used for political-driven pet projects, but Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack sees it differently.
The ARC payments and the PLC payments and the CRP payments all come from the Commodity Credit Corporation, so they've done it in the past.
Citing legitimate CCC use to fund farm bills. And the earlier GOP bill would use half of its $8 billion estimated 10-year savings for market development and research, the other half for deficit reduction. But Republicans criticize the CCC's use for climate programs and other Democratic priorities and say even a government accountability office has ruled USDA should have asked Congress first. In 2022, farm establishments received 24.1 cents for each dollar spent on food at home and 3.6 cents for each dollar spent on food away from home. These amounts, called farm shares, highlight the different paths that food takes from farms to consumers' points of purchase, according to USDA's Economic Research Service. Food at home dollars include food purchases from outlets such as grocery stores, supermarkets, and wholesale clubs that are meant to be prepared at home. Food away from home dollars include food purchases at restaurants, including delivery and carryout and other venues, where the food is eaten on the premises. The remainder of each food dollar makes up the marketing share, which is the total value of processing, transportation, retailing, and other activities that get food from farm operations to points of purchase for consumers. In 2022, the marketing share was 75.9 cents per food at home dollar and 96.4 cents per food away from home dollar. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack has announced the latest developments involving a USDA initiative focused on competition and fairness in the seed industry. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
USDA's Farmer Seed Liaison Initiative. It's designed to enhance transparency and competition in our nation's seed industry. At Monday, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack discussed the latest actions within this initiative at the National Farmers Union Annual Convention.
We also think that there is a Federal Seed Act and that people ought to comply with the Federal Seed Act. The question is, what is happening out there in the marketplace? There's a lot of information that's available on the web. There is a tendency on the part of all of us to say, well, I read it on the internet, so it's kind of got to be true, right? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. So we're announcing a website monitoring program where we're going to hire specialists who are specialists in understanding the intricacies of the Federal Seed Act, and we're tasking them with doing a very comprehensive review of what is currently being placed on the web pages of various seed companies to see whether or not, in fact, what they're saying complies with or is in opposition to the Federal Seed Act.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The National Farmers Union has closed out their 2024 convention and has adopted 6 special orders of business. Those include Fairness for Farmers, Family Farming and a 2024 Farm Bill, the Farm Safety Net, Conservation, Dairy Policy Reform, and Support for the Cooperative Business Model and the International Year of Cooperatives.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.